For the third Sunday of Lent, the epistle is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. Brethren, be followers of God as most dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath delivered himself for us an oblation and a sacrifice to God, for an odor of sweetness. But fornication and all uncleanness or uncovetousness, let it not so much as be named among you as become as saints, nor obscenity, nor foolish talking, nor scurrility, which is to no purpose. But rather giving thanks, for know ye this, and understand that no fornicator, no unclean, no covetous person, which is serving of idols, hath inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the anger of God upon the children of unbelief. Be ye not therefore partakers with them, for you were hereunto for darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk then as children of the light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. The gospel is taken from Luke chapter 11. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb spoke, and the multitudes were in admiration at it. And some of them said, He casteth out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And others tempting asked him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself shall be brought to desolation, and the house upon the house shall fall. And if Satan also be divided against itself, how shall this kingdom stand? Because you say that through Beelzebub I cast out devils. Now if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, doubtless the kingdom of God is come upon you. When a strong man armed keepeth his court, those things which he possesseth are in peace. But if a stronger than he come upon him and overcome him, he will take away all his armor wherein he trusteth and will distribute his spoils. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. When the unclean spirit is gone out from a man, he walketh through places without water, seeking rest. And not finding, he saith, I shall return into my house whence I came. And when he has come, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself. And entering in, they dwell there. And the last state of that man becomes worse than the first. And it came to pass, as he spoke these things, a certain woman from the crowd, lifting up her voice, said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore thee, and the paps that gave thee suck. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they who keep the word of God and keep it. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. I will be a sign of contradiction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words of our Lord penetrate the depths of our Christian vocation. It is in following this phrase of our Lord that we find our prize, that we will find that reward in which we want to achieve. That reward which St. Paul mentions in his epistle on Septuagesima Sunday. We will run the race so to receive our prize. It is in so much as we follow this sign of contradiction that we will receive our prize. So as we find ourselves in this season of Lent, preparing for the coming of our reward in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is but fitting that we would contemplate this sign of contradiction. But what is this sign of contradiction that our Lord speaks of? It is that sign which most men do not know. It is a foreign object to many Catholics. St. Thomas Aquinas, in his commentary on the third chapter of the Ephesians, that chapter which is just before the epistle spoken today, gives to us an illustration of the cross. He presents to us four dimensions of this cross and draws from these four dimensions applications for our spiritual life. So let us contemplate very briefly these dimensions. The first is that of the breath. The breath, the length, the height, the depth, as we hear in the epistle for the Feast of the Sacred Heart. That breath of the cross in which our Lord extends his hands represents for us that virtue of charity. We see therein the expression of our Lord Jesus Christ to save all men. We know that it is a heresy to consider, as the Jansenists did, that our Lord died for a few. Therefore, they represent on their crucifixes our Lord's hands extending very, very briefly. But no, it is a fact that our Lord desires to die for all. But we know that in every error there is a truth. So our Lord did die for all, but only a few will be saved. And that is where the Jansenists do come to light, to see that not every soul is saved, although that is the desire of God. But it is because the faithful do not do their part. So this breath of the cross, which expresses that virtue of charity, is for us a great contemplation. Secondly, we find that of the length, that long part of the cross which goes from the ground to the height of the sky. If we look at any crucifix, we find that that is the longest piece of the cross. Therefore, the length. In it we find we have that virtue of perseverance. And why do we say such? It is because we must stretch that charity which we have in the breath to make the length of that beam going from the ground to the sky. We must persevere in charity. We must stretch every ounce of our strength so to persevere amongst the trials. It is not by doing a charitable action once for many years. It has to be your whole life. So that is why St. Thomas Aquinas gives to us that virtue of perseverance. But also he correlates that virtue with that of salvation. For do we see the mystery there? That it is by persevering, by going from the ground to the sky, that we will attain our salvation. And thirdly, we find that of the height, that part of the length which goes from the beam to the sky. In there we find the virtue of hope. That virtue which leads us to desire our eternal end, our prize, our reward. It is that same part that the head of our Lord Jesus Christ will rest. So there we also find the authority of our Lord himself as the head of the church, as the king of our soul. But then we also may correlate that with the visible authority of the church, which is the Pope. So we find our Lord's head resting upon the height of the cross to give us hope of our salvation. But also we must find consolation in that hope, in that resting upon the authority of the visible authority in the church, the vicar on earth, that of the Pope. It is by following him that we will have again that other aspect of the church, the unity. Not only holiness, Catholicity, the apostolic nature, but that of unity, the oneness of the church which comes from that one authority on earth. And lastly, we find that of the depth, that one in which we do not see. These are the hidden virtues, the hidden graces that God wants to give to us. They're found in the cross, but they are hidden. So we must see from the beam of the cross to the ground. And that part which is embedded in the ground itself is what St. Thomas Aquinas refers to as the depth. That of humility. That one in which you put yourself in reality. There was a professor of philosophy at a seminary who did not desire to always put his seminarians in the abstract philosophical truths so to understand theology later on. From time to time, he desired to bring his seminarians to a farm. To a farm, so to dig in the dirt, to be in touch with reality. Because by studying the abstract truths which will lead to our faith, we can be detached, separated from that virtue of humility, that essential quality of reality. So we must, even in our spiritual life, have this depth of soul, have this concrete reality which in we will find the deep and hidden graces of our Lord himself. We will find also that depth of soul which will found ourselves so that we will not waver in the wind. Because if our length of the cross is not embedded in the ground, we will not persevere. We will be thrown in the winds of the earth. The temptations will sway our faith. So we must have this humility, be bedded in reality, so to persevere to attain our prize. So we see the reason for St. Augustine to apply these following words to the cross. He says, "The tree upon which were fixed the members of him dying was even the chair of the master teaching." He tells us that the tree of the cross is also the chair, that authority of Christ's teaching to us. It is a mystery which we do not contemplate enough, that cross, that mass, is for us an education. It's the answer to our difficulties, to the crisis in the world. So we must find in it our education, our way of life. Let us not forget, though, that this is the only way, There is no alternate road to our salvation. It is only by the cross. Many Catholics sway in this issue. They find the truth in the cross. It is obvious. But they find that it is difficult. Therefore, they strive to take another road. Let us firstly consider what would be the outcome if our Lord himself had done what we do. If our Lord had swayed from that cross, which he knew was to save the souls of the world, would we be saved? Let us look at an example. There was a man who was born Catholic, who was baptized, and who strayed from the faith very early on in his life. He has recently come back to find the truth of the Catholic Church. He sees the obvious truth lying within the Church. He even goes so far as to defend the Church against those persecuting it. But he does not convert himself. Although he realizes the necessity of the cross, he understands its great burden. So therefore, where will his soul end? The cross is the only way. So we have, for our consolation, if we may say, these words of the prophet Jeremiah, in which he states, "But if you will not hear this," referring to the cross as our teaching, "my soul shall weep in secret for your pride. Weeping it shall weep, and my eyes shall run down with tears, because the flock of the Lord is carried away captive." This prophet Jeremiah, which the Church uses as its principal prophet for the season of Lent, you may say, encapsulates this whole sermon. He says that if you do not follow the teachings of the cross, our Lord will weep for your soul. Because the world will take you at any chance by the world, by the winds of temptation. If that happens, you will cause our Lord's suffering. So it is not only by sin that we see our Lord suffering on the cross. It is also by neglect and denial of the cross of our salvation. So let us strive to follow today the patron saints of March 7th, St. Thomas Aquinas. He was given the title of the dumb ox, the dumb ox, because he practiced these four dimensions of the cross. He strove for charity, for hope, perseverance, and humility. He had those dimensions fixed on himself so that he was, therefore, a contradiction with the world. So, you will be a contradiction in this world. You want to be a contradiction in this world. But it will entail that you will suffer, that you will be ridiculed, that you will become a dumb ox. But if we reflect upon what St. Thomas Aquinas really was, in reality, in the concrete fact, he was the greatest doctor and theologian of Holy Mother Church. So we, the faithful, can be a true saint, a true scholar, a true man and woman, but be called a dumb ox. What glory could we have if but we are the sign of contradiction following our Lord Jesus Christ? So let us therefore meditate upon the cross. Not only do we have to do actions to sanctify our soul, we must also meditate, contemplate, study our faith. Much is in the cross. We must but go to the cross to learn what it is, so to love it, so to make those dimensions penetrate our soul. And we can go to the station of the cross, to that Stabat Mater, in which we sing, at the cross, her station keeping, stood the mournful mother weeping, at the cross, her station keeping. She is at the cross unto the last. So as we always strive to look for our mother for consolation, we go throughout the house seeking our mother. Do not think that you will not find your father. You will not find your mother but by your Redeemer, your Father. And this goes against the modern thought that devotion to Our Lady will distract us from our Lord. Devotion to Our Lady only increases this devotion to our prize. Because as it is expressed in the Stabat Mater, we will find Our Lady at the cross to the last. Ask for the grace during this Mass to receive that strength to be the sign of contradiction in imitation of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.